This is Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we're going to discuss franchises that shake things up, like Predator Badlands and other ones, The Mummy Returns, and so much more. Let's get on with the show. I should mention, we're not going to talk about The Mummy Returns. That was, you know, The Scorpion King. Nobody needs to talk about that nonsense. Some exciting development news in the mummy world. But my name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my fellow hosts. Troy Heinrichs. No, John Davenport. And Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
Holy crap. She's here.
She has internet.
This time. Joining us for third chair is a fellow former ho and occasional Santa Claus, Brian Williams.
Woo!
Woo! Yay! What do you mean former? I'm always a ho.
That's true.
He's a ho for life.
Ho for life. What the bathroom
Look at
wall
that mustache.
Said.
He's for sure a ho.
That's a goatee. He's twirling his mustache. You can't see it, but it's very snidely whiplash. I like it.
That's great for audio.
It is. Yeah. Well, just think of a Sean Connery, but... Not.
But different.
Nowhere near it.
Yeah. You know what Brian looks like. He's like Sean, maybe how Sean Connery looks right now, actually, is probably what I'm thinking.
Oh.
Ba-da-bop, ba-da-bop.
Oh,
that's almost disrespectful.
Gosh.
I am feeling a little ashy,
you know, a little dry.
Oh, my God.
I need to moisturize.
One thing that I want to mention. The Mummy 4 is what I was alluding to at the beginning. Like, there is a mummy movie. It's been retitled The Resurrected, directed by Evil Dead Rise director Lee Cronin. That's coming out next year. That's Universal and Blumhouse is doing that movie. But this came out earlier this week. The Mummy 4 is happening with Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz reuniting to be directed by Radio Silence, the guys who rebooted Scream a few years ago. I mean, I know it's old news by now. Everybody's probably heard it in their circles.
It is still very valuable news.
It's exciting. It's, you know, I keep raging against nostalgia, and then they do something. I'm like, all right, nostalgia, I'm back. You know, here I am. You're dutiful whore.
And the world is like returning Brendan Fraser with open arms over the last few years with his return to cinema.
Yeah, it's a whale of a return. If you will.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. You're such an airhead.
I did not bring enough alcohol.
Oh, that was a great joke. You get an A with honors. Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Bueller?
Nope.
Sorry.
Stop us now, Amanda, because we're going to keep going.
Yeah. We don't want to be Encino men. No. God. Bedazzle us, Amanda.
I just shake my head at you two. That's all I can do.
As you should. Well, this is very cool. I know it. The Mummy 3, kind of, let's be honest, it really sucked. And I don't anything. And honestly, the special effects in The Mummy Returns are not great. But I still maintain that's a fun movie, special effects aside. So
yeah, they're a good duo and good chemistry. And I'm glad to see them both back together, and this is still a beloved franchise. It's still got some legs in it, so I'm glad to see it coming.
I feel bad for, was it Maria Bello that took Rachel Weisz's spot as Evelyn in the third movie, and they're just gonna like, no, she never happened. So I really would like for her to get a cameo or something, as maybe an ex-girlfriend, I don't know, just to make it less awkward.
That might be a little bit more rude. Like, come in for this very forced cameo where you mean nothing.
She can stand in front of a Jet Li poster. I don't care. I mean, I just, you know, pay some respect. She was there. She picked up the slack when Rachel Weisz is like, I'm a little too important now to be doing mummy movies or whatever.
And how
her
did that work
was.
Out for her?
I'm sure there's probably family reasons. I don't know. Okay.
It's busy being Mrs. James Bond.
It's pretty cool too, I'm sure. I'm sure. You think he runs around the house and he just does the James Bond? I'm Bond. James Bond, just to see what she does. Because I would.
Yeah, I think she probably makes him recreate the scene where he comes crawling out of the beach with a skimpy little boy short bathing suit.
And when he's in trouble, she straps him to a chair and she says, do you balls it? That's right.
Assume the position. You just hear the chair sliding across the floor as he drags it to his punishment.
Other news, and you never know. This might be solved by the time you listen to this. Might still be going on. We don't know. But there's been a lot of talk about Warner Brothers Discovery being sold. And originally it was Paramount was looking for a bid. And then it was a matter of, we're going to make the offer. And I think Paramount offered like $24 a share. And the Warner Brothers Discovery Board rejected it. And now Netflix is looking into it. Comcast is looking into it. I don't want to get into the who's going to buy it, why are they going to buy it, if they're going to buy it. I just want to know, do you think this is a good idea to merge Warner Brothers with any of these parties? And I will specifically say I do not want Netflix because I know that Netflix will cease Warner Brothers theatrical distribution, which I do not want personally. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I don't like it, period. Just it's an institution. It's history. I mean, it's just a huge part of, you know, cinematic history, and some of the greatest films of all time are from Warner Brothers. So I don't care who buys it. They're going to do their own tweaks to it. They're going to make their own changes. They're going to make their calls that it just probably won't feel like a Warner Brothers movie. So I'm just against it. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. If you're not making the money and now's a good time to get out, I get it. But
and the Ellison family has all the money right now. Like they're AI related money, right? So they're just rolling in it. So they have trillions almost. So
gotcha. I mean, they have a lot of money. It's funny that this podcast has been going on long enough that I'm almost positive one of
that we could buy it.
That too. That almost Patreon's one of you, up. Hush, that okay, almost sorry. One of you, had called that this full circle situation was going to happen when streaming really started to gain popularity.
Oh yeah.
And cable kind of started to cease that, you know, it was all going to come around where eventually we were going to have so many of these, streaming networks, which we do. And that the bill would end up being as much as cable, which it is. Brian is still pointing to himself with all of the fingers. Somebody else's fingers are there too.
Yeah.
But here we are, and it's coming full circle. Do I want that to happen? Absolutely not. I like having some difference between who we get our content from, because otherwise it starts to feel like, yeah, one competition, but just different approaches and different styles of film and TV that we see because they are run by different organizations. And I don't feel that really any of Warner Brothers' competitors is interested in maintaining that delineation.
Brian, you can have the floor. And I will say, as someone who's been on the podcast the whole time, when this first started happening with streaming channels, we were getting excited because we could pick and choose. And Brian was cautioning at that time. So other people were like, well, I've been saying it for like a couple of years. Well, he's been saying it since it started. I will give him that.
We've got documented proof.
Yeah. I have no idea which episode. You're on your own figuring that out. But I know we talked about it. Yeah. But what is your take now that it's coming to fruition? Where basically it's just we're all becoming one big service again, where we're going to pay the same amount we tried to get away from.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of blends in with the whole, well, why did we cut cable? Because now we're spending just as much, if not more. Really, probably more at this point, because most people have some form of a cable service. I do. I have Hulu. The only reason I watch it is so I can watch some sports.
You mean the TV version, right?
The TV, cable, right. Yeah. Yeah, Hulu Live. But I figured, okay, well, I'll get it because it gives me what I'm looking for. But also, they throw in Disney and the ESPN app. So, all right, if I'm going to spend that kind of money anyway, I might as well do that.
Yeah, I get it.
And it's just going, okay, well, here we are back to where we started, you know, 15 years ago. And Yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating because, again, it's kind of the whole purpose of the streaming was to avoid the cable. And but we're there now.
Can I throw in this little, sure. is a plus, and I say this every time this topic comes up. I don't have ads anymore. I haven't watched an ad, like a full ad, without intent in a very long time.
That is a huge plus. And even if it is a series, maybe I'll record it and watch it later. I do, if it allows me to. There's some kind of time thing. If you wait a certain amount of time, they just take out the commercials.
On Hulu?
Like on Hulu, yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting.
I think within like a few days or a week, maybe they still leave it. But yeah, you wait long enough, they'll just, which is not hard to do when you've got 12 different series you're trying to catch up on.
Well, I have to think that most people do not watch commercials anymore, like ever, because every time I talk to somebody, like, it's amazing to me how many people say, I didn't know this movie was out. I didn't know that thing was out, because they're not watching commercials anymore. Like the advertisements aren't hitting them. They don't know about these things.
Yeah, but you've got to, if you're a fan of horror movies,
mm-hmm.
you're probably on your Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever. At some point, some kind of a trailer comes out at this point.
Should come up with your algorithm. Should,
yeah, exactly. So
it's amazing to me how quickly the algorithm affects things. And I will say this, not to peek behind the curtain, but at one point Brian and I and my friend Tyler, we have like a thread where we send each other just jokes and whatnot. And at one point somebody just mentioned
expose this, please.
Hang on. No. At one point it was totally Tyler.
Tyler, just 100% Tyler
mentioned this adult actor. And then I started getting all kinds of freaking reels and everything else about said actor and every interview that person's ever been in and everything else, like basically trying to, it was almost instantaneous. It was insane.
And again, it's not just once in a while. It's, every little tab you go, it didn't matter TikTok, if it was a groups tag.
Yeah, whatever you're in. I mean, the algorithm just sees it and goes. And I assume if you stop watching them, then it won't show up anymore, but I haven't figured it out yet. You know what I mean? Just kidding. I got rid of that one pretty quick.
I really wish that there was a way for you to modify your algorithm.
Yeah, you just click on other stuff.
It's not even like watching the video.
Well, I just want to delete it.
If you linger,
give me this.
Yeah, but if you just linger for like a half second, it thinks you're interested. And then you get whatever that subject matter is.
But I've been getting chiropractor neck cracks.
Yeah, I bet.
That might be my fault because I look at them so much. Maybe it was like send to your friends.
No, they're addictive. You see one and you got to hear it. You got to see it happen again. And then I'm just like, now I got 1,000 in a row.
There's this guy I've considered and contemplated like traveling to because I'm like, gosh, I want that experience. And that's what they want. This is exactly what they want.
Yeah. And I want to know, why is everybody filming it? Why is everybody okay with their head being like, put me in the little head loop and then crack my spine? Yeah, film it.
Let me tell you.
People like us will give you a discount, actually. So it's more expensive if you don't opt into it. I did find that out.
No, I had an uncle who was a chiropractor, and I loved it anytime I saw him because he would basically just spend a couple hours giving everybody adjustments and stuff.
I
will say, a lot of people call it kooky and stuff, but when I was a kid, I had one of the worst colds I have ever had, flu, whatever. He cracked my neck, and the next day I was better.
No way.
I was like 10, but
that doesn't
I didn't start drinking until I was like 12, but But no, it's my mom, who is a saint, will completely back that story up. And I definitely recommend going to a chiropractor for a lot of things. You feel good whenever you come out of there.
And we've got Mrs. Williams on the line. Can you back this up?
Mom!
That'll be interesting. I mean, I think we kind of are all on pins and needles waiting to see where that goes. And this comes up every year, but I just love how closer we get to it. They Live had another anniversary, and it's you know, November 4th.
Yeah, it's almost like every year that happens.
It's just get. I know, but I'm just saying we get a little bit closer to where I'm just waiting for the goggles to show up. You know, where are my sunglasses at?
But yeah, it's called Ray-Ban with Meta, right?
Yeah, it's getting pretty close. Obey, consume.
That's yeah. it.
One thing that I think is worth note, and this happened on Halloween, about a week ago, right? By the time you listen to this, maybe it's later than that. I don't know, but it just happened, is The Walking Dead had its 15th anniversary. So it's been on for 15
years. Ew, you made years. Me feel as so a, old just now.
As a property, you should. But the cool thing is I remember, because we started doing the podcast in 2011, Brian, if you remember. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I thought this is worth mentioning since you're here. You know, in those early years, we would talk about it constantly. We even did like Walking Dead cast at the end of each season, I think. If I remember right, we did that for that Walking Dead and Game of Thrones. And we would I mean, it was just so exciting to have a show like that. And then I think we parlayed to Game of Thrones. But I mean, it's really that and Game of Thrones are the two last water cooler shows.
Right.
Where we had to talk about it right after an episode.
You watched it that night and probably texted or called somebody shortly after it was over, you know, and of course you would spend way more time than your bosses probably would prefer you to discussing it at work or
I would
the
never.
Next day.
I would never. And message boards, oh God, like Facebook, whatever, but you'd be on some kind of board talking about it too. And then the after podcasts and all that other stuff. I mean, there was just so much absorption of content and after show content. And I kind of missed that, but there also wasn't nearly as much content, which made it more enjoyable. But I also want to mention, like we were talking about the whole streaming situation, Walking Dead, if you think about it, Walking Dead was when cable suddenly became super popular, right? You got Walking Dead parlayed into Breaking Bad and all that other stuff and, you know, helped AMC gain a big footing. And then from cable, then it went to streaming. So, I mean, like, I would really say Walking Dead was the bridge that took us to that next level in many ways.
Yeah, interesting. Sure, I'd go along with that. It really opened the doors to what, It kind of told the studios that, hey, people need more than just medical dramas, lawyer dramas, and cop dramas. Sprinkle in a few sitcoms. They need something more than that, or they want something more than that. Mm-hmm. This, a show about zombies, is at the time was a pretty tough sell, which is why they only had six episodes for the first season. And he had a well-respected director, you know, behind it. So, like, they still felt like, well, I don't know if this is quite, if we want to take this kind of a gamble.
And it was huge. The ratings were huge.
Turns out to be the best moves that somebody ever made in their career. Right?
do you still watch the spinoffs at all, like Daryl's show and
I did Dead watch City? I did watch the first season of Dead City. I like Negan, the character. Maggie, to me, that's not a duo I really care about as a team.
It doesn't make sense to me. Like I could never make that work in my head. I don't care how hard they tried.
The Daryl one, surprisingly, was actually pretty good, even though, yeah, I mean, he's in France. I watched the first season, maybe the second. I think they've got three now.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't watched that yet. But, yeah, I mean, they're entertaining enough. But, again, it's not about the zombies or the walkers. It's
the people.
It's the people drama. So, which is, I mean, it's always been that way, but the first few seasons anyway, you know, the zombies were a pretty big part of it.
They were this is how Grey's Anatomy has survived so many seasons, is literally the people drama. It is!
If we could have went without Grey's Anatomy being mentioned, this would have been a great episode. It really would.
It is one of the longest standing TV franchises.
And it's terrible.
Series.
Weirdly enough, I may be bringing it up later.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So it was gonna come out at some point anyway. So might as well been opened up with her by her.
Well, let's whip this thing out. Let's go to our From the Outside In topic. All right, now we're going to talk about shaking up a franchise. Now, Predator Badlands is the latest example, right? Because you've got the antagonist becoming the protagonist. And that's an interesting flip on the usual script, which is, good guys are being
hunted. Brian's camera just did a close-up pan to his face as he took a sip of his drink. It zoomed in on his face. I feel like I'm in an episode of The Office.
Ooh. Well, this is audio, so
at least they can enjoy me enjoying this. And Brian
Woohoo, everyone that can't see, you suckers. So franchises, TV or film, and this can go either way. Like, I want to talk about, when is it the right time to shake it up? Like, how do you know when it's time to shake things up? And a lot of movies have done it. Some TV shows have done it. I can mention easily, like, Friday the 13th is a horror movie. Like, they did Friday the 13th, the final chapter. Then they did number 5, which was a whole new killer. And then that shakeup didn't work, so they went back to Jason. And then they took Jason and threw him in with a psychic and threw him into Manhattan. So they were constantly trying to shake up that franchise. Stuff like that. And then you have Fast and Furious as a prime example, where they were basically, stealing DVD players. And then they move into international criminals. And
they're floating around space.
I think even Universal recently said that was probably one step too far. And we're like, no shit. It was a good joke. I mean, but it's not a great idea. Ride dinosaurs next. I'm still waiting for that one to happen. So, when movies or franchises do this, like, what makes you? When's the time? Like, things that you love, when you realize that it's getting stale, needs a shake up. But you realize there's still a little more gas in the tank, if you will?
If you are at the point where you've made maybe a couple of films, or you've had a couple of seasons, and you feel like you need to do a prequel, now you need to do something different. Now you need to figure out what to do, some kind of way to mix it up. I am sick and tired of 2 movies coming out, and then the third one is, here's a prequel.
Oh, like Quiet Place just did not too long ago?
Yeah. Just I every third movie, we didn't really plan this on this being a hit. So we'll make another one. Great. Now where do we go? Gosh, we could always tell the story of how this killer became to be. Now we're getting a freaking TV series about Jason Voorhees and how he becomes a killer. Yeah. I don't want to know anything about how he – I just care that he's this 6.5-foot-tall meat slab of a man that's just somehow walking everywhere trying to kill people.
Yeah,
that's all I need to know. I don't need to know that he was a troubled kid and picked on probably and whatever else.
They explained it in the first movie. What do I need a TV series for that? It's kind of like Michael Myers. I like it better. I mean, when they tried to explain it, it was terrible.
The just mystery. Terrible. It's like doing the Mandalorian and he's got speaking parts and he doesn't have his helmet on. Not the Mandalorian, the Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. Yeah,
Halo's another example. I don't need all of that. Yeah, Pablo Schreiber, but whatever.
So you want to get away from prequels, shake things up in your existing timeline, so to speak.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're headed one direction, find a way to pivot. Now I'm not saying turn John Wick into a puppet musical,
they're doing
Team America type stuff.
They are doing an animated prequel, I think, like to explain John Wick.
Oh, God.
To go over John Wick's impossible.
What these idiots in these studios, these greedy bastards don't understand is that the mystery is what works. That is the secret sauce for these characters. You don't really need to know, John Wick again. You don't know nothing. You don't know anything about this guy. Mm-mm. You don't know nothing about no John Wick, let me tell you. So it's part of it is you're filling in this little bit of story from everybody else. John Leguizamo, he's like, you killed his dog, man.
Yeah, that was enough. We're like, oh, that must be bad.
Yeah. You know, it's like everybody else kind of fills in these things like, oh, yeah, I was fine until you told me it was John Wick. Yeah, nobody messes with him. Here's this story about this. You killed a guy with a pencil or whatever. That's all that kind of stuff. That mystery is what drives a lot of these characters.
But there are exceptions, right? Because, I mean, wouldn't you agree that Batman Begins was a good use of that? I mean, there's always an exception to the rule. Casino Royale, Batman Begins, those are two rare exceptions to your point, I would say. Because those are origin stories, both of them, that are very well received.
Okay, Batman wasn't a continuation of the... I mean, it was just kind of a reset. Oh,
you're
saying
you're keeping... Yeah. Okay, Casino Royale would be the same thing, too.
Right. But.
Okay, yeah, fine. So, you got a loophole. Sure.
So, no. I mean, like, again, if you've got the Aaron Peterson Chronicles, right?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
It would be a The Room, or what? Not Room. The Room. Which one's the bad one? The nod Captain Marvel
Room.
Movie,
oh, hi, Mark.
Just Room.
Just
Room. Oh, wait. Yeah. Are you talking about the... Which
He's
one are talking you
talking about? The absolutely wonderful film. That is fun to watch.
Yeah.
So then that's The Room.
When you're drunk. Yeah. When you're absolutely drunk.
Yes. And you have a group of people with you.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. That's the most important part.
So.
You're tearing me apart.
You're tearing me apart. So, yeah, no, it's, but yeah, like I said, so you've got a franchise and you've already got a couple of movies. You've kind of got this storyline built. And then all of a sudden you kind of stop and go, well, let's do a prequel. No, if your reaction is to do a prequel, that should be your first hint to stop, and let's find a different direction to take it. Maybe you take the main top two characters and give the other person more of a lead role or something. Maybe they're antagonists. You give them, it's kind of more their side of the story. I don't know. Whatever.
You want to go forward, not backward.
I don't want to go back. Yeah. You can fill in backstory with little comments. Maybe throw a little flashback scene here and there. But for the most part, the mystery is what drives a lot of these great characters that turn into be like surprise hits.
Maybe we got off the question I had, but it makes sense what you're saying. So, Amanda, what about you? Like, when do you think it's time to shake up like something you love, but it's getting a little stale?
Well, and I'm sorry to bring up Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, my God.
But any type of content, whether it's a series of movies or it's a TV show or any of that, when you've been rehashing the same formula over and over and over again, that I feel like is when you need to change things. And if you're only changing, you know, characters or certain pieces, that it doesn't keep it true to the story and also change the formula, then you're not doing any service to shaking things up. I think that's kind of, from Brian's point, what I agree with too, because for him, he's like, we don't need all of this. You're doing this just because you're trying to be greedy with it now. So really care about the content and build something that is driven from the integrity of the show or the movie. And the reason I bring up Grey's Anatomy is because that is the epitome of something that needs a shakeup. Now, the only time that they've really, quote unquote, shaken things up, they use the same formula over and over and over again.
Character, right?
Yeah. And it's, I get that's the formula you've gone with for so long, but to bring new excitement into it, try something a little bit different. And I think it's one, what are your ratings or your viewership? What is the fan base like at that time? Have you seen it decline, right? These are all data-driven factors that you can look at in terms of, okay, is it time for us to do something different? But then you also have, I think a prime example is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They really had hit their height, and then you started to see bad reviews after bad reviews after bad reviews of the movies and shows that were coming out after that. That is a great symbol of when you need to change things up, because they were doing the same thing over and over again. It just wasn't even as good. So find a different methodology.
Well, and they tried it a couple times, right? Like they tried Thor. They completely changed the tone of Thor, you know, with was it Ragnarok? And then, but that only worked like really for one movie, because the next movie they tried the same tone and it just did not work at all. I mean, it was like, it was fresh and then it was stale. Like, it's amazing how quickly that one went stale.
Yeah, I think they kind of tried to use a similar formula, but then just kind of amp it up and
tried too hard.
There's way too much feedback.
there was a lot of feedback for sure. But I do agree. I mean, if something gets stale, it needs a shake up. I mean, I feel like Jurassic World is kind of in that spot where, yep. You know, even though I like the last movie, I mean, I had fun with it, but I think they could shake up that whole formula. And they did try, right? They put dinosaurs on land on the actual continental U.S. and that made it different. And they don't even really touch it in the new movie. So it just like, I guess they're all dead. And, you know, I think they really could have gone to a lot cooler places with that. But I love a shakeup in a franchise. I mean, I remember, like, I was really sick of Predator. And then Prey came out on Hulu, and I know everybody kept raving about it. And I'm like, I'll finally watch it. And it was great. I mean, it was a great, very satisfying shakeup of a franchise. And even though I would have preferred to have seen that in a theater, I still think it was just great that we had it. And it really kind of, like, reinvigorated things. And now you've got another Predator movie to go into the theater, which... it's surprising. We'll see if that holds because they're trying, you know, something completely different. You'll find out later in the show if I liked it or not with the review. You know, I think these things are, if you want to keep nostalgia alive, if you want to keep people excited, you have to shake things up. I really loved the last Scream. I know some people didn't like it, but I love that Scream went to New York City because it was completely different.
I would agree.
Even though it didn't have Neve Campbell, and I think that was a bummer, but I also think how many times are... Rando is going to terrorize the same person. I mean, at some point, it's her, she's the problem.
At some point, she's probably going to have Secret Service or be in witness protection.
I mean, something for sure. And her husband's going from Patrick Dempsey to Joel McHale. I don't know if that's a positive change.
That is such a decline.
It feels like a decline.
No offense.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like a Timothy Oliphant.
That's almost disrespectful to Timothy Oliphant.
Well, that's a compliment. The old Timmy.
I mean, he's a handsome fella, but
he's got one of the best heads of hair in the business. But back to my point, I love that Scream went to New York City and like did the whole thing, even though at times I'm like, do you guys just forget there's a camera literally everywhere? But outside of that, it was still fun to see them try to play in a new environment and kind of get out of Woodsboro and out of that small town feel because it made it something different. And I think you need to do that every once in a while. You need to shake things up. Is there one that, you know, we're talking about all these franchises that shake things up. Is there one that really just blew your mind? Like, it changed how you even perceive maybe the franchise? Like, you enjoyed it even more when they made a big shift?
Yep. Yeah, for me, it was the spinoff of Angel coming from Buffy. And I love, 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 love Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But Angel gave it a whole new feel. It was really maturing the franchise or the series of shows and that world, giving us a different look at Angel as a character, what his capacity is. They like went through a lot of development and growth for him. And even when they would bring in other characters from Buffy, they were different. They had started to mature. So it was almost like we got to see Buffy at the teenage stage years, right? Because the majority of it, they're in high school and then they go into college. Then you get into Angel and you're expanded more into the adult world and really even looking at some of the more adult problems that come up and family matters and all these different things that I don't feel like I really had with Buffy, but it maintained the same soul of the show. That was a fun one for you. Soul.
I got it. I like season 5 of Angel, honestly, the most, which is when they really kind of went away from the serialized nature and did more of like a case of the week almost. But I did like how the whole show is completely different than Buffy. It's very much like, it's like Batman, Detective Batman. Like, he's solving crimes a lot. And mysteries and that sort of thing. Yeah, there's demons and whatnot, but it does it completely different. And that's a good reference. What about you, Brian?
Like, this was pretty simple, actually. It was the Fast and Furious franchise. After 3, which, to their credit, they tried to do something different. And
did they?
Yeah.
Did they try?
They
try is the word. Yeah.
They went to Japan. And they cast Lucas Black, the worst Texas accent I've ever heard.
It is literally the black sheep movie of the franchise, so I will give it that.
Y'all can both kiss each one of my cheeks. Because
you like the third one?
I like is a strong word, but I don't hate it. I don't think it deserves the hate that it gets. I think it's popular to hate on it.
How about his accent?
His accent is real. He's from Alabama.
It feels fake. That's what I'm saying.
All you do is you listen to all these fake Southern accents that complain about. 100%. I'm originally from Wisconsin. So
I knew it.
No, but years later I kind of became a little bit more of a fan of his because he refuses to lose his accent. He said, this is me. This is who I am. He's from Alabama. It's not great, but I don't think it deserves the hate it gets. But it got a lot of hate, and it almost killed the franchise.
One cameo at the end that really just brought it all back. Started bringing it all mm-hmm. back again.
So, yeah, but 4 just was amazing. It was kind of brought this whole bombastic feel that they had, and it just kind of brought it kind of back to the original. Yeah, and I think those next few films were pretty good. These last two or three that they've had have been pretty not so good.
I liked X. I'm not going to lie. I liked Fast 10 quite a bit. I thought Jason Momoa was a blast. When he's painting dead people's fingernails, I'm like, I'm into this. I am all on board. I don't even know what's happening, but I'm all on board.
Yeah, I just think it's gotten so far away from even the mid run there, the 4s, the 5s, the 6s. It's just batshit crazy at this point.
Well, my favorite example is one of my favorite film series of all time, which is the Evil Dead series, because in the first movie is one of the scariest movies as a kid. It was terrifying to me. And there's tree violations and stuff. I mean, I don't want to get into all that, but it's a very uncomfortable film all the way across the board. And then Evil Dead 2 comes out, and it's partially a remake. It's partially a horror movie, and then it's all comedy. And it's just like, what is happening? This is not even close to the same movie, but it's just as enjoyable. It's just as entertaining, and it's just bonkers.
Yeah, like I say, it's a remake of the first.
Half of it, at least, is a half is like a remake. And like,
this is all familiar.
And then the third movie, Army of Darkness, which doesn't even have an Evil Dead 3 in the title. Right. And it comes along and it's nothing like the first two. There's no horror whatsoever. It's cheesy.
And from some angles, it's so much better than any of them.
It's so terrible and so awesome at the same time. And it's just comedy.
Hail to the King, baby.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, that thing is infinitely quotable. There are so many lines I've quoted my whole life. I'm still trying to figure out how do I get Yo, She Bitch, Let's Go into a conversation, but I haven't been attacked by a female demon at any point. But it's one of my favorite series. And then it comes back and it's been they're not remakes. They're reboots twice, and one is pretty probably more horrific than the original movie, and then the other one had a little bit of that Evil Dead 2 comedy flair here and there. I mean, it's a very flexible franchise, and they're not a slave to the first film or anything to the elements, right? Like, they're willing to take a chance and do things differently each time out, and I love that. I wish more franchises would do that.
And then, in the way the franchise is positioned, they can really go a lot of different directions. They're not pigeonholed into one serial killer that doesn't say any words, just stalking through the neighborhood type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not, they can really spread out. If you watch the TV series that lasted 3 seasons.
Yeah. Ash versus Evil Dead. Yeah. Yeah. It was 3 seasons. Yeah.
Yeah.
It went on way too long, and I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. It was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And another one that really, I think, is a prime example of one of the best examples of shaking a franchise up is Lethal Weapon. Because the first movie is a gritty, dark, really a drama, an action thriller, maybe, but it's really a drama. I mean, there's not really that much action until the end. And then you get into the second one, and it starts from the wildest car chase in action buddy movie history. I mean, it's just insane. And then you got Joe Pesci, like, they fuck you at the drive-thru. You know, you've got all this stuff that happens in the second movie, getting blown up on a toilet. You've got all this bro love going on. I mean, it's a completely different franchise from the minute that second movie starts.
Yep.
And it was a thrill to see that in the theater as a kid and just be like,
absolutely,
this is not the same movie at all. Like, this is completely different. I'm not sad. He's not even suicidal anymore. He's happy as a clam. He's cured.
That's a good call, because that's, and even the ones that followed after that were different. They tried to build on two.
Probably too much.
A little too much. Yeah. But still. Yeah, that's a good call.
And you know, originally, I think the original script was Riggs got killed at the end, because he gets shot like 47 times or something.
Sure.
At the end.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously they realize, well, that's not going to test well if we want to keep a franchise going. And so he lived and so did the franchise. And I'm still waiting for that fifth movie. Is there any examples you can think of, like, where it was a terrible, terrible choice to shake things up the way that they chose to do it?
Yeah, I've got one. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
I might have to disagree with you on this, but go ahead.
Look, it's still one of the kitschiest tunes of a happy, fake happy product.
Halloween, ever. Halloween, Halloween.
8 more days to Halloween, yep. Halloween,
Silver Halloween.
Silver Shamrock. Silver Shamrock, yep. And, yeah, but has nothing to do with Michael Myers isn't in it. It's literally, other than the fact that it happens during Halloween, it's got nothing to do with the others, but apparently John Carpenter and his, I guess, producer or partner or something, they originally planned to make Halloween, each one, a self-contained story.
Yeah, that was the idea. Yep.
That was the original plan. And then they realized, oops.
people want a William Shatner mask a lot more.
Yeah. They like Michael Myers a lot more. So... yeah.
Interestingly enough, oh, go ahead.
No, yeah, no, go ahead.
Interestingly enough, mine is also a Halloween movie, but it's the Rob Zombie Halloween.
That movie can go straight to hell. Straight
literally,
to
and
hell.
It can get stomped on, it can get suffocated, buried, burned, scorched, whatever.
I mean, there's a good chance if I saw Rob Zombie, I would do that thing that they do in plays where the lady takes her glove and slaps him with it. I think I'd do that.
So I want to throw a pumpkin at his head. Yeah. It's just, honestly, it's disrespectful. It feels like it really, because of that origin story component, it felt so incredibly lazy. It felt like it was like, oh, let's just sympathize with him. And you're like, dude, none of that really matters when he's just been hunting people down and slaughtering them for fun for how long?
I know. Yeah.
How many movies do we have? Remember how many people have murdered? The body count has got to be up there. Maybe we should use ChatGPT for this. Find out how many people he's truly murdered. And it was just, oh, it was bad writing. It was bad directing. The dialogue sucked. And I just felt like it didn't have the crux of Michael Myers in there. Yeah. And we just didn't need it, to be honest. Like, oh, I think God. This goes back to what Brian said earlier.
It usually does. Everything usually does. Oh, of course.
I mean,
that's why I love you, Brian. You're so humble.
You're so modest.
It's just one of my better qualities.
Yes.
That movie, that whole series, those two movies that he did, it just has some of the worst choices I can think of. The freaking mommy fever dreams in the second movie where she's riding a horse. It's just like, whatever. Just for an excuse to have his wife in that movie. And then the first movie, Sam Loomis saying to Michael Myers, you're like my best friend. Oh, go to hell. What are you talking about? He's a freaking shrink. And he's in there telling the serial killer, you're like my best friend. I spent so much time with you. You're like my best friend. Then you're doing it wrong, dickhead. Learn how to shrink better. Maybe that's why he's still carving people up randomly on one day a year.
Yep.
That's
what does Michael Myers do like the rest of the year?
Spirit Halloween, putting those together. China.
He's probably just a normal guy, has like a regular job, and then just takes a PTO day on Halloween every year.
He's very quiet. Very quiet.
And he's he works in IT.
Yeah. He works in IT. That's terrible. Those are pretty good examples. I will tell you one that I think is terrible is Expendables 4. I was a big fan of that franchise, and then they decided to kind of go and just hand it over to Jason Statham, and I think that was painfully obvious. Nothing against him. Jason Statham was great. That movie is freaking terrible, and it just ruined a whole franchise. So it just wasn't the same when you don't have a really good collection of the old guard and the new guard. You're really just kind of trying to make it something
you're different. You're trying to make excuses for people that aren't exactly action heroes, but
yeah, exactly. We're,
you know, all the good ones are passing at this point because they've already been in at least two of them,
action adjacent, and they're like, no, I'm good.
Yeah,
Wesley Snipes is still like, no, I don't want any part of it. No, yeah.
And yet, Steven Seagal still doesn't get the invite.
He doesn't. They didn't have the catering he needed.
They're like, we got Urkel. Urkel's on board, but
I'd watch that.
But hey, Seagal's agent is on. Nope. We don't need him. We don't.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. That's funny. Well, guys, speaking of the topic of shaking up franchises, I know we've kind of gone all over the place, but hey, I think it's been a fun conversation. So, what do you think in terms of? And I want to mention a couple things that I think are important, right? So James Bond has done a great job of shaking its franchise up. Every time it gets a new leading man, it's almost like a new tone. It's almost like a new vibe. Roger Moore has his own kind of franchise, totally separate from everybody else. And I think that's why that series has lasted so long. I can't wait for Amazon to totally ruin it. And then you've got movies like, I want to talk about The Last Jedi, okay, before we move on. That's a big one. A lot of people hate that movie. I'm not one of them. I like it, but I do think it's not great. And I do think what it does do is it introduces an interesting element, which is anybody can be a Jedi, and then immediately backtracks it with the next movie. So it's like a completely missed opportunity that was just wasted. And I'm kind of curious, like, do you guys feel like that movie was as impactful as some fans do, good or bad?
I just kind of thought it was forgettable.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
I feel like it was really driven. Yeah, part of that again is nostalgia.
To your point earlier with all the, there's just too much. There's too many options these days.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you and I've had this conversation a number of times recently where it's just, you know, I watch something at this point and it's okay. That's it. Let me. What's the next thing? What's the next series? What's the next movie? What's next? What's next? And it's almost watching stuff just to try to feel like I'm caught up versus mm-hmm. trying to actually enjoy whatever is on the TV or big screen. So that's one where I'm not a big Adam Driver fan, at least in these types of roles. I think he's a good actor overall. I just don't like him as a, I just don't like him in this type of role. I don't think he fits. Woody Harrelson is another great actor that doesn't fit in these big heroic type of films. He's a much better dramatic actor, even comedy actor. But yeah, just to throw him into something with, you know, for name appeal and face appeal it just doesn't work for me. But Adam Driver to me is just not, he just wasn't a villain. And you need a great villain, and he just wasn't a good enough villain.
Okay.
So, meh.
Well, let's try this. How about this one for you, Amanda? How about WandaVision? That was one of your favorite shows, and that was a big shakeup to the formula for Marvel. Do you think that was it because of that shakeup, like that big change, or is it just because you love Scarlet Witch and that's why you loved it?
I think it was a bit of both. It was something, it was also done so uniquely in terms of, let's take each episode and tie it back to real American TV and attach it to a show that existed and do it in the same formula and methodology as that while still having their own components to it. To me, I felt like we're trying something so incredibly different and clever, and all of it still has purpose to the show. And then you add on Elizabeth Olsen as Scarlet Witch, and to me, it's just phenomenal. And for other people, I think it was definitely less about the character, but I love that there was so much in or out when it comes to if she was good or bad. People kept flip-flopping, like, oh, she is kind of good, or then the debate is that, no, she is kind of bad. And the truth is, she's definitely somewhere in the middle. And so I love that she kind of created a conversation around that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good take. I was confused the first few episodes. I was wondering where this is going, but it also was the same thing, kind of like what drew me back the next week. So that, you know, you kind of started in that 50s or 60s era, then it was kind of like 60s or 70s and then 80s. And you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, what? Obviously, they're building towards something, but I've got no idea what's going on. And then, of course, obviously, it's explained later and it kind of levels out. But yeah, I think it was one of the better series that they did overall in hindsight.
It was wild. And Cobra Kai is another good one. Like, that franchise was dead, absolutely dead. And they came back with that freaking ridiculous Johnny Lawrence situation, which I love. And I still wish he was in Legends, but more than he was. Yeah. All right. So, and I should ask, has anybody here watched Better Call Saul? I have not, so I can't comment on it. I'm always curious.
Only if a this few is episodes.
As good as Breaking Bad. Everybody raves about it.
I have not. I was 100% fine with how Breaking Bad ended. And as heavy of a series as that is, I'm it's just kind of like I'm done with it. I loved it. I think it's still one of the benchmark series of the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, again, it's so slow and it's so heavy that, like, once it was wrapped up, I'm like, cool, put it away in the trunk. I don't need any more. I don't need it. And again, it's the same thing as earlier. I don't need a prequel. I don't need another fucking prequel. And I sure as heck don't need to watch 30 hours of prequel information. I don't need it. I don't need these people who are significantly older tried to make look younger with a bad dark brown hairpiece. I don't.
Hello, fellow kids.
Yeah. So I don't. And again, I get the business side of it. That's what they're to hear. Hey, what works? This worked. How can we make more of it? Well, we could do a prequel. Okay, let's do that. All right.
I get whatever. It. Make that money.
I get it, but make I don't like it.
Yep. I don't either. And lastly, I'll say, you know, anything can be rebooted in a different way. I think Sherlock Holmes has been done more than anything. And I check out almost every iteration, and I like some, hate some, and love some. So, I mean, you can always do it. And if the IP is the name of the game, you're probably going to see a lot more of it going forward, because that's just the way of the world. Now, as we end this topic, I'm curious, name a franchise or TV show that you would love to see shaken up, and how would you do it? Manda, you start.
So we talked a little bit about the MCU, and we've talked about more so Scarlet Witch than we have the Doctor Strange in the multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
But I come back to trying to get to a more centered hero arc, which I feel like is the more traditional piece of MCU movies that we've all kind of come to love. But also trying to look into more of a character that seems to do really well when it goes to theaters, and even has a TV show, and that's around Doctor Strange.
Mm.
And so the thing that I really like about Doctor Strange as a character is how much power and capacity he can take on, and how much that must affect him physically and mentally. Like, if I just think about going through different time space continuums, if you will, like, that's a lot physically and mentally. So I think really focusing on a deteriorating mental state for him, you know, he's been manipulating time and going into space and manipulating reality and all of these things for so many years, and it starts to kind of come in and show up as an effect. So, like, let's say that he were to try to do a spell that undid some of the trauma of the past losses. And when that fails, it fractures a piece of his own consciousness. And this could be for whatever reason, right? But the core of it is he tries to do something that fixes some issues for himself and for others. It doesn't work. And he becomes trapped in this dreamscape where multiple versions of him are battling. So there's a hero him, there's a villain him, there's the broken him, there's all these different versions and facets of himself, but their physicality is there to like compete, if you will. So I feel like that could kind of take it into the world of Inception a little bit, if you were to compare and have something that really focuses on his psyche. And you can also have, to me, I think it's really fun when you have an unreliable narrator. Because then it's really trying to figure out, okay, what is real, what isn't real. You get to have a lot of fun visually with it. And the antagonist in all of this, of course, is a version of him that is darker, that's more ruthless. And all of that comes driven by his guilt. And then, of course, you get cameos for Wanda and Loki, which I think is fun.
Okay. I would watch that. Sure. I mean, they've already shown that they can have different versions of him, so why not?
Here's what I'll take that one step further. He splits. He has all the splitting personality stuff going on. And he's got that all the different, basically.
You're expanding on her version. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah,
you're like making a spinoff. Yeah.
That means Brian came unprepared.
Just adding to it. No, I've got something. I've got something, but I like your idea.
Okay,
I'm expanding on it. So. And then, so he's got all these basically different personalities. And so then you kind of, for lack of a better term, just kind of zoom out. It's the, the guy that played Professor X where he's a schizophrenic. It's basically him.
Legion guy?
Oh, Split.
No,
he's
no,
talking
not
about
Legion.
Split.
Split, yeah.
Oh, James McAvoy. Okay.
Yeah. James McAvoy, yeah.
Okay.
Come to find out, like, all of these is actually him.
Oh, that's interesting. And horrible.
So, like, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good idea. Good idea.
Call Marvel.
Marvel, this is copyrighted with your characters.
Yeah. All right, Brian, what is your pitch? What would you do?
All right. Well, it's something that's been mentioned a little bit a couple times earlier. The problem with this show and shows like it is that when it runs for a very long time. Obviously, that's kind of what works. So you're kind of giving people what they want. However, let's change up the, let's call it incestuous Grey's Anatomy from a love story drama to a post-apocalyptic war hospital.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this sounds fun.
So what we do is like, all right, so it's a disaster, right? You got big holes in walls. It's just people are being, patched up with duct tape and empty bottles, like 2-liter bottles of Coke that are now, you know, dripping fluids and stuff because they're having
definitely
to use whatever they can get their hands on.
Get infected for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the least of your worries at that point.
I would think so. Yep.
So, but you spend like the next 10 seasons explaining how they got to that point, a la How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, so you screw it all up at the end.
Mm.
I kid.
Sure.
But that's, so how they get to this hospital and this war-torn element, like just going back to their past lives, if you will, like Lost style?
I never watched Lost, so I don't know.
Shame on you. Okay,
nah,
so going
really
back and just telling their... I get it. You're not ashamed of it. Understood. Going back and kind of reliving that. When Manda, you're the Grey's Anatomy fan, would that work for you?
I feel like it could. Honestly, at this point, Aaron, anything will freaking work. Just do something different.
Right. You can't transfer everybody out to a different hospital. So you're kind of...
Right.
You're grounded. The location is grounded. And you can only kill off so many. You can only transfer people.
Those are
promotions.
Right now their two main methods of getting rid of a cast member.
They get promoted and go somewhere else, or they die.
Yeah,
it's either that, or because they've all been sleeping with each other and stuff, they just like all die of AIDS, and then you know they're kind of quarantined. I don't know,
Brian.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Welcome to 2025. No one dies of AIDS anymore. There's plenty of treatments.
look, if okay, Ebola. I don't know.
Ebola.
Whatever. See, again, either one of those is not as good as a post-apocalyptic war thing.
Agreed. Say that three times.
I can't say it once.
I like it. Amanda seems on board, so that works. Mine is easy. It's the same. I'll make this pitch every chance I can, and every day of the week, twice on Sunday. Indiana Jones, one of my favorite franchises of all time. I don't want another Indiana Jones movie, but I would love a short round movie. You want to shake that franchise up, come back with an adventure. He can look into Asian history and have kind of the same impact, but it's a totally different movie, totally different style, totally different action. And Ke Huy Quan is shown that he's number one, an Oscar winner. Number two, he's a martial artist. Number three, he was a stuntman for years. He's a perfect person to do that.
You could tie it into The Mummy 3.
There you go. Whatever it takes. I want my short round movie. That's what I'm saying. That's how I would jazz up that franchise, and fans would freaking love it. So just do it, Disney. God, waste of money not doing it. That's what I'm saying. Okay, and our review this week is for Predator Badlands, which is the spinoff movie of Predator. And it's the first one to be rated PG-13 because this is totally different. And it's taking what has always been the antagonist and making him the protagonist, which is an interesting switch. Also, if you didn't know, fun fact, it's kind of an Alien crossover. Like, there's a little bit of Alien versus Predator in here. I don't want to spoil anything, but it's literally part of the plot. Okay, so for those that don't know, Deck is this young Predator who is thought to be the weakest of his clan, the Yautja clan. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong and someone's going to write me a note and I don't care. But essentially, he's trying to prove that he is actually as tough as the rest of his family. And so he sets off on a mission to score the biggest hunt of anyone in his clan's life. And basically become the top predator, if you will. There's a lot of other family dynamics at play here. It's very heavily dramatic. There's an opening that's very intense and just brutal to a big degree. And there's also a bit of a soul-searching story here as young Deck is searching for his clan and trying to fit in and trying to show that he's just as badass as the rest of his predator bunch. Well, he's not as badass, or it seems, at least at the beginning, and he grows as he moves on. But then as he crash lands on an alien planet looking for his prey, if you will, he comes across a synthetic named Thea, who's played by Elle Fanning, and does a wonderful job. I mean, this synthetic has no legs and kind of needs Deck just as much as Deck needs her, I guess, to locate her legs, and they essentially become a team. So it becomes like a buddy team up, almost an action comedy at this point. And then they're on the search for the prey as well as trying to get home. And there's also a little bit of an issue because the synthetic is owned by, you guessed it, Weyland-Yutani. That's from the Alien movies. So there's definitely a tie in there and there's a lot more to it. And I'm not going to get too much more into the details because I think it's important that you go into this as blind as you can. This is freaking fun. I know this is a PG-13 change up. And a lot of times whenever an R rated franchise goes PG-13, people think it gets tame or it gets lame. None of those things happen. In fact, this is, in my opinion, the best Predator movie since the first one, hands down. Now, granted, you don't have a lot to play with there. There's quite a few bad Predator properties. But Prey was awesome on Hulu. I love Prey quite a bit. It's better than Prey. This is so much fun across the board. What they do differently, and it's the same directors of Prey as Dan Trachtenberg, and he decided what he wanted to do is instead of doing what they did with Prey, just making a sequel to that where, you know, a predator comes back to Earth, etc. He wanted to do something completely different, and that's what he's doing. Like, you follow the whole movie through the eyes of the predator, and they do a fantastic job of explaining how we can understand what Thea speaks. Basically, she tells the audience that she is speaking in his language, the Yautja's language, but anyone else would hear it as their own, which is it's basically like zoning in on Sean Connery in The Hunt for Red October and making it like, oh, I'm speaking Yautja, but you're actually hearing English, you know? So it explains why we're hearing her in our native tongue but we hear Deck in his native tongue and we're just reading subtitles. It works great. I think there's a lot of creativity in this movie, which really surprised me. The action scenes are stellar. And one thing I will tell you is I got the vibe. It's like Star Wars Predator. I mean, for a lot of it, they've got this cool sword, like laser sword. And it's very much like everything you want to see a lightsaber do. They do it in the Predator movie. And I wish they would do more of that in the Star Wars movies because it'd be cool as shit. I mean, the action, every time there's an action scene, it is intense. It's fun. It's not bloody because, you know, it's not R, but I don't need it to be. He's really fighting a lot of different various space creatures of sorts or synthetics. So I don't really think we need a whole bunch of blood and gore. It just doesn't apply to the movie. It doesn't take away in any way, shape, or form. It does not take away. In fact, like I was so unsure walking in what I was going to get, right? Because I've seen Predator movies all over the place. The best one really since the first one is Prey. And that was very similar to the first Predator movie. It's just from a female's perspective as an ass kicker, as opposed to Arnold Schwarzenegger's. This is nothing like the other Predator movies. This is actually, I would say, as we just talked about, completely shaking up a franchise and making it something different, something unique, and something cool. Like, I've always thought that the Predator was a cool villain. Now I think the Predator is an awesome hero. Like, he's an antagonist or an anti-hero, for sure. But also makes a great protagonist. Like, once you flip sides and you're kind of looking at their side of the journey, it's really interesting. And there's a lot more to play there than I really expected. And as the movie goes on, you kind of get a lot of heart. There's a lot of heart in the movie, and I'm not going to ruin it for you. I really want you to experience it. Tons of humor. There's a lot of really, really clever humor in the movie. And I just love the back and forth between Thea and Deck. And Deck is played by, and I know I'm going to mispronounce his name, and I really do apologize. Demetrius Schuster Kalamatanji. I hope I said that right. He's got a great presence. The special effects on his face. I do not know if they are practical or digital. I would assume they're digital, but it also looks practical. So it could go either way, but that's how good I think the effects are done. I saw it in 3D as well. And man, the 3D doesn't really add to it, but it was still nonstop badass. None of the effects took me out of the movie. You also get a little bit of a creature happiness, a little bit of that creature joy where you get like small little creatures that you can, you know, giggle with and whatnot, which is very akin to Star Wars, right? So someone's throwing a toy in here. And I thought that was a great twist to the formula. It really shakes up this franchise completely and makes it something different and unique and actually more of a family film in a lot of ways. Like, Predator's always been that R-rated, that guy's fucking movie. This is really more of a, like, that family sci-fi action opus, which is just a lot of fun. And I really, really just think all of you should go see it in a movie theater. Don't wait for it to come on digital. Come on, man. And this is the kind of shit that you want to see in a movie theater. It's got action. It's got heart. It's got comedy. It's got really interesting acting. You've got Elle Fanning actually plays two roles in the movie. I don't want to give away why, but as you watch it, I mean, it makes total sense 10 minutes into you seeing the film, but she does completely different parts and it works really well. And it's nice to have that alien crossover. There's a lot of nods to Alien without it being flat out Alien versus Predator. It's not Alien. There's no aliens in the movie, but Weyland Yutani is definitely an alien corporation, right? Like, they are the corporation from, they are the technology supplier. Like, they make the synthetics and the starships and all that other stuff. And the one thing they don't do is really explain how the Predators come up with all this technology, because they got a lot of really badass sci-fi technology, and I mean, they don't even cut their fingernails. Like, how the hell are they building this stuff? Because they don't look like they're genius architects or engineers. You know what I mean? They look like badasses. Like, they could kill everyone and I guess steal their technology, but they sure don't look like they can build it. Anyway, don't care. I can swallow that and enjoy it. I mean, there's a lot of really cool action set pieces. The pacing is perfect. I was not bored at any point during the movie. Things just move at a clip, and it was exactly the right length. If you have the chance, go see Predator Badlands in a theater. If $10 is the full price of admission, I give it $8.50. Probably, it's not better than F1, but I think this is the best fantasy action movie I've seen this year. I mean, just really, really just a great time. And I was so surprised that I enjoyed it as much as I did. So go see Predator Badlands. Absolutely, it's worth it. And upcoming attractions is what we normally would do here, but we just did a whole holiday movie release episode last week. Go listen to that one and catch up. I think that would be a great, great time to do that. And before we head out of here, you know, we usually do talk about anything that we might have seen recently that is worth mentioning. I'm going to mention one that's on Hulu. It just recently came out. It's called All's Fair. And that's where Kim Kardashian leads an all-female legal team to take only female clients that are going through high-profile divorces. It's from Ryan Murphy, and it's got Naomi Watts, Glenn Close is in it. It's got a great cast, and it is terrible. It is absolutely terrible. It is one of the worst things I've ever seen. Definitely the worst TV series that's debuted this year. You have such a great cast, and you've got Kim Kardashian leading it, and you know what? She's great in reality TV, but she's a terrible actress. Don't watch this. It's dog shit. The lines are cringy, just so bad. There's just not, and then it's not so good it's bad. It's so bad it's terrible. It's just absolutely terrible. I don't know how Ryan Murphy keeps getting unlimited funds to make whatever he wants, but this show is shit. It's just shit. All's not fair to the viewer. That's all I'm going to say.
He must have the same agent as Rob Zombie.
He does. Just keep making your shit, man.
Just look, you got to give him another project. You got to give him another project.
I'm going to make Kim Kardashian an acting star. You are not. I'm going to surround her by talent. They are embarrassed. I promise you. They probably went to the premiere, and they're all wearing that freaking thing over their face like she wore at Met Gala. They just do not want to be part of this. It's a terrible show. Terrible. That's what I've got. So my recommendation is don't watch All's Fair on Hulu. Brian, what about you? Anything?
Yeah, I've just wrapped up this one recently. It's on Amazon Prime. If Landman is coming out here pretty soon, it's with our boy Billy Bob Thornton, and it is Gotham, which is basically Landman with lawyers. And I'm stealing your line because that's pretty much how you pitched it to me a few months ago. So I said, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And what I really like about it, it's
you mean Goliath?
What I say?
Gotham. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a whole different
Billy Bob
show.
Thornton is a lawyer.
Yeah, Billy Bob Thornton. Billy Gotham Bob Thornton City? Plays Alfred in the... No, actually, that I would watch.
Batman shows up and he's just smoking cigarettes. He's like, God damn it, right. Batman.
Make your own grilled cheese, you little shit. Gas up your own damn car, you freak.
Suddenly I want that version.
I do too.
It's better than the Penguin. Oh. All right, Goliath on Prime.
Goliath on Amazon Prime, yeah. With Billy Bob Thornton. He's not running around with a guy in a cape. There's four seasons total. Every season is a completely different vibe. There's a thread that does run from, you know, beginning to end, but it's just basically updating you on certain characters kind of stuff. So it's, again, what I like is every season is completely different. It's a whole different vibe. The last season is kind of like a noir, which you would love. You love.
Yeah, I haven't gotten stuff. I've watched the first two and a half, so I haven't finished the third one yet.
So yeah, it's solid series. Again, there's only four seasons. I think eight episodes, maybe
10.
I think it's eight episodes.
Eight or
is 10. It 10?
8 or 10.
Yeah,
one of those.
It's not. Yeah, yeah. There's no more than 10. So
good show.
It's not It's not too big of an investment.
What about you, man? Anything you want to recommend or take away? Wasn't All's Fair, was it? Because that was terrible.
You know what was terrible, though?
All's Fair.
And I know we've talked, we've probably mentioned this, I can't remember, but Monster, the Ed Gein story. Please do not.
Not a fan.
Nope.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, it felt like it was trying to be American Horror Story level grotesque just for the sake of it. And the story is, they're trying to go in three different directions and tell you three different stories, and it feels so shaky and unclear in terms of how where their focus really is.
Well,
huh. Well, good. I'm glad because I haven't watched it yet. So you sold me.
You're welcome.
I can take, you know, two series off my yep. list here.
Both so. Ryan Murphy's. He sucks.
Oh, all right. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yep. For sure. Maybe the next monster will be a Kim Kardashian story.
Oh, you know what I did watch recently that I was I never got a chance to get around to.
Well,
there's
that's why
actually
we're here.
Two.
Please yeah. tell us.
Megan and then Megan 2.0.
Oh, how was 2.0?
2.0 was good. I thought it was interesting how they brought the story back and expanded on it. There you go. There's another one. It did something a little bit different, but it stuck to kind of its root core. It was good. I did not expect to enjoy them. I think I was anticipating they'd be incredibly more gory for some reason and just very like Chucky-esque.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very different. It almost feels a little bit more sci-fi thriller at times than it does horror.
I heard the second one is like an action. Like she becomes like an action hero, right?
Or something? Yeah, it's definitely more. Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's like a competition. Like there's another AI that is potentially more powerful or as powerful. And so it's how do we get to shutting her down? Because again, the whole thing is once AI start to expand beyond human capacity,
can't get out
what
of
do
it.
You do how yeah. do you yeah when they're able to connect to all of technology and we're so dependent on technology.
I'm
so really gonna, really interesting.
I'm gonna check it out because that's on Peacock, right? 2.0 is on Peacock, I do believe.
Both so. Of them are,
yeah,
the first and the second.
I'll check them out. That's gonna do it for this episode. Brian, I want to thank you for being here and filling in, sir.
Glad to be here. It's always a pleasure to fill you in.
Okay. And Amanda, thanks for your internet holding out there for a little bit. I appreciate it.
We did it. I had to turn video off, but we did it.
We did it. Everybody, thanks for listening. Remember, the next time you head to a theater or stream comfortably on your couch, which you will know what to watch if you go listen to our holiday movie preview episode, which is, we put a lot of work into that. I hope you enjoyed it. Buy a popcorn.